If not, then we're going to look to God's Word this morning. And I ask for an interest in your prayers, that God would be our guide and our help today, that the Word would be rightly divided, and that He would speak through His Word to your heart. Again, I know I sound like a broken record, but if you just come to hear my thoughts and opinions as a man today, I would say you're probably wasting your time. To spend an hour or more listening to a guy like myself just talk about my thoughts and opinions on life would probably be pretty boring. But I believe that the Lord can speak to you today. And we don't need the wisdom of men, but we need the wisdom of heaven. We need God's wisdom today. And I'm thankful that He has revealed Himself and He has spoken through His Word today, and that His Holy Spirit can take His Word and speak into our lives and into our existence. And it's crazy to me, my time as a pastor, where I'll meet people that will say the Bible is irrelevant, that it was written thousands of years ago by people that don't understand me. And then as they sit under the sound of the gospel and the preaching of God's Word, and the Lord begins to use His Word to speak to their lives, they realize just how relevant it is, that the Word knows more about us than we know about ourselves. And God can leave us vulnerable and open, and sometimes that's uncomfortable. When the light of the gospel and the light of God's Word begins to reveal who we are, that can be an uncomfortable thing. But when we see Jesus Christ and who He is and what He has done in our place, I'm thankful today for the powerful work of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, Paul said. And I am thankful for it today. If you're lost today, and when I use the word lost, I mean that you've never experienced the forgiveness of the Lord, I want you to know that it's available today to you in Jesus Christ, that He has done all the work that is necessary. Most world religion teaches today that there's some sort of spiritual journey, or there's some sort of religious work, or some sort of ceremony that you need to go through in order to know God and to be right with Him. I want you to know today that Jesus Christ has satisfied God with what He did on the cross of Calvary. He went to the cross of Calvary. He died. Even though He had no sin, He became sin for us. And He suffered the penalty of sin on our behalf. And He satisfied God. The book of Isaiah said, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. It wasn't that God had this weird happiness over the suffering of Jesus. It was that God was satisfied. Because God is just, He was satisfied with the work that Jesus Christ had accomplished on Calvary. And today, if you will be saved, or if you'll be forgiven of your sin, then it's going to be in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. The Bible teaches that faith and repentance are inseparable graces, and you must trust in the Lord today with all of your heart. And I pray today that if you've never had a time and place in your life where you've put your trust in the Lord, that today you will do just that. Our message today may be is seemingly more directed to those of us that know the Lord, and some instruction for His children in His church today. But regardless of those things, as God would speak today and His Spirit would be made known among us, I pray that you would seek the Lord if you feel His drawing power. So we're going to be reading from the Old Testament this morning in the book of 2 Chronicles. I encourage you, if you have a copy of the scripture, to read along with us. The majority of this church reads from the King James Version of the Bible, and that's what we'll be reading from this morning. Certainly not opposed to other translations of Scripture, and on occasion I read from the English Standard Version, but this morning we'll be reading from the King James. Encourage you to read along with us. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We're going to be reading about the ninth king of Judah under the divided kingdom. His name was Uzziah. If you've been with us for a long time, then you've heard me speak of Uzziah before. This isn't the first time that I've preached on this text. Yet, nonetheless, God has placed him upon my heart today in this passage. And every time that I speak about Uzziah, I have to give a little bit of a disclaimer. The story of Uzziah's reign as king is sad, okay? This isn't one of the stories that has a happy ending. There, everyone lives happily ever after and everything is good. And so I want you to know that today, that this is kind of a disheartening, discouraging passage about the way this man's life ended. The beginning of his life was exciting and it was good. He served the Lord and he looked to God for wisdom and for strength, and he seemed to start so well, and yet he finished in a devastating way. And so I want you to understand that it will be a sad story, that it is an account of history that is not very happy, yet the lessons that can be learned from this man Uzziah's life are priceless. They're I don't know how to describe just how meaningful and impactful these lessons are to each and every one of us here today. So I want us to learn from him, and I want us to learn from the word of the Lord. God has placed it in his word for a purpose, and I believe he can use it today to speak to our hearts. So we're going to read, and it's a bit of a lengthy reading, so I encourage you to try to stay patient and read along with us, but we're going to be reading the entire 26th chapter of 2 Chronicles this morning, beginning in verse 1. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after that the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And he went forth and warned against the Philistines, and brake down the walls of Gath, and the wall of Jebna, and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbaal and the Mehunims. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. And he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains, and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account by the hand of Jael, the scribe of Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600, and under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all of the hosts shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines, invented by cunning men, to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far and abroad, and he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests and the son of Aaron that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, or angry, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence, yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house. That means a house that was separated from everyone else, from the kingdom. Being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial, which belonged to the kings. For they said, He is a leopard, and Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead. Forgiving my mistakes, that is the 26th chapter of the book of 2 Chronicles, and I'd like to just bow and say a prayer for a moment. Gracious, holy, wonderful God, my heavenly Father, my rock and my refuge, we come to you this morning thankful that we have the privilege of prayer. Thankful, Lord, that we have the freedom to assemble this morning to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thankful, dear Lord, to have your word. We can read it and that we can glean from it. Lord, we understand today that your word is a spiritually discerned book and that even men of the greatest wisdom cannot understand it without the help of your spirit. And so I pray today, Lord, that you would enlighten our minds, that you'd soften our hearts, and that we would understand the words in which you have written. I pray, Lord, that you would teach us, especially as your children this morning, those that are saved. I pray that you would take us and help us to learn and to grow and to be the great potter that you are, God. Just mold us into the men and women of the Lord that you want us to be. And Lord, if there's anyone here that does not believe, if there's anyone here that hasn't put their faith and trust in your son, Jesus, I pray that they would not tarry any longer, but that they would trust in you, Lord, for you are worthy of our trust. You are faithful, Lord. I love you, and I'm thankful for you. I pray that you'd be our guide and help today. May you be exalted in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. King Uzziah. It's heartbreaking to me. I hope you were able to follow as we read the narrative of what was happening there. It really is a heartbreaking story of a young man with such great promise, and the Lord was just so much helping him in his life until he forgot where his help and his strength came from. And so I want to learn from Uzziah. I want to learn from this passage of Scripture today, and I pray the Lord would help us to do so. I encourage you to listen. It's one thing to sit at church. It's one thing to, you know, be here. It's another thing to truly listen to the Word of God. And to try to focus to the best of your ability to focus upon the message of God today and what it has for you. And so, first of all, let's just go over the narrative real quick to make sure that we were able to follow it and we know what happened here. And then we'll take some truths from it, some important truths that we can learn from as God's people today. So, Uzziah became king of Judah, which was the southern kingdom that was a divided kingdom. Israel was to the north, the ten kingdoms to the north. Judah was to the south, the two kingdoms to the south. And in the divided kingdom, Uzziah was the ninth king to reign in the divided kingdom of Judah. And he became king at a very young age, 16. As a high school teacher, blows my mind, right? I'm around 16-year-olds all the time, and to think of them running the government or running the country is a scary thought. And so I'm sure many people, even in this day, even though he was of a royal line, were probably pretty scared about what would take place with a 16-year-old running Judah. His father had had his life ended very tragically. He had allowed a lot of idolatry to enter into his life and into the nation of Judah. He started a war with Israel. It did not end very well. God was not pleased with his desire to wage war against Israel. He was taken captive, and ultimately he lost his life. And at 16, Uzziah was thrust into the forefront of leading God's people in Judah, this nation. And so a lot of responsibility was thrust on him at a very young age. What we see, though, is that he responded to it in a very good way. If you read much of the Old Testament, you kind of get tired and depressed about reading about all the kings that did evil in the sight of God. There were more kings that did evil than did good. So when you start reading about Uzziah, and the first thing you see in verse 4 was that he did right in the sight of the Lord, it gets you excited, right? Here a young man thrust into responsibility at a very young age, yet he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And he had counselors in his life, a man named Zechariah, to teach him the things of God. It says that he instructed him in the fear of God. He taught him. And Uzziah listened to him, and he sought the Lord. And the Bible says as long as he sought the Lord, he was made to prosper. So God prospered his reign and his kingdom while he sought the Lord. And he listened to his instructors in the things of God. And so it was very promising. It talks about some of the military conquests that he had as the ruler, and he was very successful. And he not only was successful in military, but he was successful in rebuilding the kingdom. He rebuilt some of the walls that were destroyed in this conflict with Israel. And he fortified them and built up the military. And he became so famous across the then known world that even his enemies were coming and giving him gifts because of the great ruler that he was and just how successful his kingdom was being. So here we see a young man listening to wise counsel in the Lord, seeking God for his wisdom, instruction, and strength, and his kingdom prospering under that kind of lifestyle. And as that happened, he began to grow in fame, he began to grow in power, and people began to recognize that and to acknowledge that before his face. Well, it says that he was marvelously helped until he was strong. So when he became so strong and when he became so mighty, that he began to become prideful and to forget that his strength came from the Lord in the first place, and that his prospering and the reality of what his kingdom was having at this moment was because God was behind them and not because of any of his own great strength or great abilities. And he began to think highly of himself and to get puffed up within himself and be prideful and thinking that all that had been accomplished and all that he had was because of what he had done and what he had accomplished. Well, in that moment, it says that he went in to the temple to burn incense. Now listen, he was the king and he could do whatever he wanted, but he couldn't do this, right? God had declared very plainly and clearly to the people of Israel, the people of Judah, that this was reserved for the priest and the priest alone. And he, neglecting that, even though knowing that that was a reality and that was a commandment of God, he neglected that reality, and in his pride and in his arrogance, he began to burn incense upon the altar of the Lord. Even the priest ran in and tried to get him to stop, and yet he would not listen. He grew angry, and he did it anyway. Well, it says in the moment that he transgressed God and burned the incense upon the altar that leprosy began to pop forth on his forehead. A great disease that was contagious, and the people would keep them separate from everyone else. A leper was an outcast because he couldn't be around the general population. And here the king of Judah, having transgressed God's law, leprosy began to break forth on his forehead, and he was run out of the temple, and it says that he remained in a separate house for the rest of his reign. He was separated from the people, and he could not govern the people as king because of his leprosy. It says his son had to do that in his place. And like I said, it's not a happy ending. He ends up dying in that house, separated from the people, unable to be the king, which was his place to be. And so we see the sad ending of King Uzziah. Now, as sad as it is, there are some instructions that are just so vital and important for us to hear. And I want to talk just about a few of those things. First of all, I want to tell you today, and this is for everybody, but especially those of you that consider yourselves young today, I want to stress the importance of having good Christian mentors in your life. You need a good Christian mentor that is older than you, that has had more experience than you, that is faithful, that showed themselves faithful to the Lord in their life. It is vital for us to have good Christian mentors in our lives. Okay? This young man at 16 came into reign and to power, and there was probably a lot that he didn't know. Not probably, there was a lot that he did not know how to do. There was a lot that he didn't know how to do. And it says in verse 5, "And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had an understanding in the visions of God." And when you study the wording there in its original, what it's saying is that Zechariah instructed him in the fear of God. That as he sought God, he taught Uzziah to fear the Lord, to reverence the Lord, and that if he was going to rule and reign as a good king, that he was going to have to get his instruction and his strength and his guidance from the God of heaven. And so he had a man in his life that was willing to teach him the things of God. I cannot stress to you enough, again, especially to our youth here today, get somebody in your life that you have seen by the example of their lives, loves God and fears God and reverences Him and desires, and they're not going to be perfect, but they love God and desire to serve Him, and get that kind of person in your life. We all need that. I am so thankful. I could make a list today of the men that were in my life that led as a mentor to me about serving the Lord. And get someone in your life that loves you to the degree that will point out when you're walking the wrong way. Okay? Brother Brad, you guys, most of you know Brother Brad. He's a member of this church. He has been that in my life, and I'm thankful for that. Now, Brad's not older than me, but he's very mature in the Lord, and I'm thankful for his mentorship and his friendship, that there were times in my young life where he would call me on the phone and say, Jonathan, what you're doing is not honoring to God. The direction that you're heading is not going to lead you in a positive way. And he loved me enough to be willing to tell me the truth when I needed to hear it the most. That's one thing I'm thankful about the Scripture. The Scripture just tells it how it is, doesn't it? Excuse me as I fight the frog in my throat this morning. But the Scripture just lays it out and it tells you the truth. And sometimes it's a positive story. Sometimes, like the one we read today, it's negative. But it's the truth. And the truth sets us free. The truth enlightens our hearts and our minds, and we need to hear the truth. So listen, we need Zechariahs in our life. Like Uzziah had Zechariah to instruct him in the fear of the Lord, we need others to instruct us in the fear of the Lord. And I don't think that ever ends. I know as you grow older, you become that to others, but at the same time, you always have people in your life to instruct you in the fear of the Lord. I'm thankful for that. I was able to see probably one of my greatest mentors in the Lord Saturday as he preached the gospel at the youth weekend, my former pastor. And I was just encouraged in my heart to have God put people in my life to help me, to guide me in things. I remember when I met Brother Mike for the first time, I was very arrogant. I had a lot of pride. I thought I had figured a lot out. I thought I knew more than other people knew and that I knew what it was to serve the Lord. And he really, in a gentle and a meek, but in an instructive way, showed me that I knew very little. That I was very quite weak and that I had a long way to go. And it was in realizing that weakness that God began to do a work in my life and begin to edify me or to build me up. And I still got a long way to go and I'm still as weak as can be. But I'm thankful that when I experienced and I understood that I was weak, that is when God began to work in my life. There is great, great strength from weakness. And that is a lot about what this passage is about, is that there is strength from weakness. Uzziah was young, he was inexperienced. There was a lot he didn't know, but it says that he sought the Lord, and as long as he sought the Lord God, he was made to prosper. He understood his weakness and his inability. He listened to wise counsel, and he pursued God and his purposes with all of his heart. Listen, that is a recipe for success right there. Not the success that the world paints today. I'm not up here today like a televangelist telling you that there's going to be wealth, health, and prosperity in your life. The Bible doesn't teach us that. But there is prosperity and success in a spiritual sense and an eternal way that God can give you a life and a life more abundantly. And that may not look successful to the people around you. But listen, being in the center of God's will, experiencing his loving relationship, and walking through the life storms with God by your side, that is success. Success. That is prosperity, and that is what I want the world to know. A friend that sticks closer to than a brother. The Lord is good. And as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Listen, from cover to cover in this book, God tells the story of strength from weakness, right? One of the verses I quote all the time is when Paul had the thorn in the flesh. And remember, he prayed to the Lord 3 times to remove the thorn in the flesh. And what did the Lord say to him? Basically, he said no. He said more than that, but he did not remove his thorn. Okay? So he had some sort of thing, and we don't know what it is. People make conjecture about what it is. I think it was some sort of physical ailment, but we don't really know, and it doesn't really matter. Whatever it was a great pain to him. It was great suffering in his life, and he prayed to the Lord 3 times to remove it from his life, and yet the Lord did not remove it, but he gave this answer. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." I don't know of any other verse that comes, God brings back to my heart in the midst of the trials and struggles of my life than to know that the grace of Jesus Christ is sufficient for me. I don't know all of you today. I don't know all that you're going through or where you stand or any of those kind of things or the trials that you're facing. But what I do know and what I can say with confidence this morning is that the grace of Jesus Christ is sufficient for you today. For His strength is made perfect in weakness. And listen, we do not become strong with the Lord and capable with the Lord by our own ingenuity or our own intelligence or our own capabilities. But when we understand that we are weak and that we need God, that is when His strength can work through us, and it can work through us in a mighty way. Paul said, God can do exceedingly and abundantly above anything that you think or ask. According to what? According to the power that worketh in us. Strength and weakness. God shows us that all the time. We could point to a million other places in Scripture, but we'll move on. So, we need good Christian mentors. We know that strength comes from weakness. Paul, after having that response from the Lord that His grace was sufficient, he said, therefore will I rather glory in mine infirmities that the power of Christ might rest upon me. The one thing that he had been praying for God to remove, now he was saying, let it come because I want the power of Christ to rest upon me. And if it takes a thorn in the flesh, if it takes some sort of trial or some sort of tribulation in my life to help me to trust in the Lord and to allow His strength to work through me, then let it come. Paul's perspective completely changed. You know, sometimes God doesn't remove the bad thing from our lives, but He gives us grace to endure it and to come out the other end stronger than when we came in. Strength from weakness. Uzziah at a young age was leading mightily and with great strength, and the Lord made him to prosper because he sought his strength from the Lord. You know, it was just a few weeks ago I preached on Rehoboam, another king, the first king under the divided kingdom, the kingdom divided under his kingship. He was the son of Solomon, if you remember that message, if you were with us. But what we preached about Rehoboam was he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord because he failed to prepare his heart to seek the Lord, right? So here we have a case study of two kings. The one did what was evil in the sight of the Lord because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord, while the other, at a young age, sought wise counsel, and he sought the Lord, and while he sought the Lord, he prospered. You see the difference? One king, in his weakness, trusted in the Lord and sought his guidance and leadership, while the other didn't. And we talked about with Rehoboam, we said, listen, you don't have to wake up one morning and say, I'm going to go do evil. I'm going to go do bad. No, you just have to prepare not your heart to seek God, right? Our nature and our flesh is to do wrong, and it is sinful. And if we do not seek God, if we do not saturate ourselves with the things of the Lord and humble ourselves under His reign and lordship in our lives, then we will do evil. And Rehoboam didn't prepare his heart to seek God, and he pursued evil things. Here we have a young man that sought God, and because he sought God and found strength in his weakness, God helped him to prosper. All right, so that's the highlight of his life. That is the good part, and that encourages me, and it should encourage us today. He was instructed to fear God. He reverenced the Lord, right? That's what fear of God means. It means you reverence Him, okay? You have respect for Him. In a healthy father-child relationship, a child should have a fear or a reverence towards their father. Right? They should desire to please Him and they should love Him, not be fearful in a cowering kind of stay away from me way, but in a love and an understanding that He is the head of you and that you love Him and desire to please Him and you respect Him in that kind of way. And Uzziah at his young age was taught to reverence God. Listen, we live in a more and more irreverent world, don't we? We see it in the younger generations growing up after us from time to time. We see it all around us. People are irreverent to people in authority. People are irreverent to God. People are irreverent to their parents. And we see it all the time. I want to encourage our young people today to be a light in the midst of this dark world, to be a people that reverences God, that doesn't take Him lightly or flippantly or jokingly, but that God is sovereign and God is good and God is righteous and holy, and we are to love Him and serve Him and fear Him, respect Him and reverence Him. I pray that this church would always be a mark of the fear of God, that when people came amongst us, they would see a people that reverences God. Now, I'm not saying you can't have fun and you can't be creative and you can't be a jovial people, but the reality is that some people take God too lightly and too flippantly, and may we be a people that always reverence God. And so Uzziah reverenced God. He respected him. He sought him. And because of that, his reign was prosperous. So talks about some of the things that he'd done in fortifying the kingdom and fortifying the cities and building great instruments of war and catapults and the success that he found in military victories. And so many people were coming and laying gifts at his feet because of all the successes that he was able to have as king. But then at the end of verse 15, we see a shift, right? It says, the very end, it says, "And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong." This is where it starts to turn. And this is where the sadness of the story comes in. But again, we can learn from it. So he was marvelously helped. God was working mightily through his life until he was strong. You see, his fame began to spread. People began to give him gifts. His mind began to get big, right? Head couldn't fit through the door. We like to joke around with some people sometimes. Says in verse 16, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense from upon the altar of incense." So here he is in his pride being built up, the people giving him gifts, thinking that he's done all this by himself. And he says, "I want to do the one thing I can't do," right? So he's king. He can do anything. He has power and reign and rule over the then known world. People, his kingdom was prospering, and his enemies were laying gifts at his feet. He was great. He was doing great things. He could do whatever he wanted. He had rule and he had power. But God had said that it was for the priests to burn incense only. Listen, I think we're susceptible to that. We can give Uzziah a hard time, but I think within ourselves and our own hearts, if we're honest today, that sometimes we get like that. We want to do the thing that we know we are not supposed to do. That in our flesh, sometimes we desire the untouchable. We know that it's not right. We know that it's not good. We know that it's off limits, but our heart just yearns for it because our heart is desperately wicked. And our flesh desires it. And sometimes, though we have all of this at our disposal, we want to do the thing that we can't because I can do whatever, right? Because of the pride in our own hearts and our own minds, we want to go that extra mile. And Uzziah did just that. He had everything under his reign, but he did the one thing that he wasn't able to do. And as he went into the temple, you see, 40 priests went after him and said, "Don't do it, Uzziah. Don't do it. This has been reserved for us. Don't do it." And I think if in that moment he would have listened to wise counsel and he would have heard those priests and he would have repented towards God, that he would have been just fine, that God would have forgiven him. But it says, even though they told him not to do it, he got angry. Isn't that the response of us sometimes when people show us that what we're doing is wrong? That is probably one of the hardest things for people to do, is to hear criticism that is good criticism, right? When people tell us that something we're doing is wrong or the way that we're going about something isn't the right way, we think we know more than them. Who are they to tell us what to do? And our first response is just like Uzziah, we get mad. We get angry. And I've been like that at times. I remember Pastor Mike one time came to me and said, "Listen, you did this when you should have done that." He caught me in the middle of the street, in the middle of my workday, and he told me very bluntly but lovingly what I was doing was wrong. And in that moment, I got mad. I'm thankful the Lord helped me to keep it internal. I hope it was internal. He probably knew. But I said, okay, I had respect for him. I knew he was a good man and my friend. So even though I was angry at what he had said, I just kind of sucked it up and went home. And the whole way I was mad and I was mumbling and I was grumbling and I was angry. But I remember getting down upon my knees to pray that evening and God changing my perspective and me being grateful that he was willing to come into my life and tell me those things. Has that ever happened to you? Where at first you were angry at the instruction that someone gave you, and then God changed your perspective and showed you what they were doing was absolutely right and good. I'm thankful for people like that in my life. But Uzziah grew angry, and he refused to listen to the counsel of the priest, and he did that which he was not supposed to do. And he had a fall. He had a mighty fall. Listen, I know people, you know people, that were giants to you in the church. People that were servants of the Lord that you looked up to and that you loved and that you cared about and that were examples to you, and you've seen falls in their life that are heartbreaking, just like Uzziah. I want you to know, listen, each one of you, none of you are going to be exempt of this. I am not exempt from this. We are going to have crossroads moments in our lives exactly like this. Now, I'm not saying you're going to burn an altar on the incense in the temple. That's not anymore. But listen, you're going to have a crossroad moment in your life where you're presented with a situation where you know that God has said no, and this is what God wants, and this is what you want, and they're not going to agree with each other, right? This is what I desire. This is what my heart wants. This is what I want to pursue. This is what I want. Well, this is what God wants, right? And they don't come together. And you're going to be in a crossroads, and you're going to have to decide, do I pursue the desires of my own flesh? Do I pursue the desires of my own heart? Or do I pursue that which God has said is good and that which God has said is right? Uzziah had that moment. He knew he wasn't supposed to do that. God sent 40 priests in the very moment to tell him he wasn't supposed to do it, and he still pursued what his own flesh desired. And he had a great fall, not a happy ending. Leprosy broke out on his forehead. He was separated from his kingdom, unable to rule until his death. And how many have we seen fall? I'm thankful to God that there's always a road back. Don't get me wrong. You're reasonable people today. I'm thankful that even when we fall, even when we sin, that there is a road back, that God is a forgiving God. But there are things that men and women have done that have ruined their witness with the world, that they are no longer able to reach the world like they once were because they ruined their witness before God. And listen today, brothers and sisters, especially those young people today, you're going to have those moments in your life. And in that moment, in that challenging moment, I encourage you, I implore you today to pursue that which God has said is good and that which God has said is right. And even if you cannot understand it in the moment, even if you think you're missing out on what's going on over here, or you don't understand why it is that God has said what he has said, he has not given you these things just to give them. He's given them to you because he loves you infinitely and perfectly, and he knows what is ahead. He knows the future as well as the past, and he knows you, and he tells you these things because he loves you and wants to guide you in paths of righteousness. And in those moments, pursue what is good. Pursue what is right, and I promise you that you will not regret it one bit. Listen, what a testimony is it when someone can stand up and say, I was faced with a precision like that, and because of the strength of the Holy Spirit, I was able to pursue the Lord and what was good, and God blessed my life and prospered my life because of those things. What a testimony is that? That's amazing, and that is what I want to encourage you today to do. Never underestimate a single decision in a single moment of time. It can be very powerful, and I encourage you to pursue the Lord. I encourage you to listen to criticism, as I've said before, and to pursue God in prayer as he would guide and direct your lives. Sad story. It is Uzziah. It doesn't end happily. I'm thankful that when you go to the 6th chapter of Isaiah, there was a prophet named Isaiah. And if you read that chapter, it's one of my favorites. But it begins, it says, in the year King Uzziah died. And you can almost skip over it if you're just reading it, you know, without understanding of who Uzziah was. But in the year King Uzziah died, there was a prophet named Isaiah. And it says in that moment that he died, and you can imagine what this did to the kingdom of Judah. Having this man that had been so successful and prosperous as he sought God and did what was right in his eyes, and now he transgressed God and died, and the kingdom was in disarray. And Isaiah says, in the year King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up upon the throne. And it says that the angels, the seraphims, were circling him, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts." And Isaiah got upon his knees, and as he had this vision of God being high and lifted up upon the throne and being holy, he repented. He repented for himself, and he repented for his people. And he said before God, and God said, "Who will go for me? Who shall I send?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." That even in the midst of one king failing, there was a prophet that was seeing God, and God was raising him up to be used of God in a mighty way for the purposes of God and his eternal work. You know, we can't always see what God is doing. We can never see his full divine purposes and the things that he is working out in our lives, but rest assured that God is in control and that God is weaving and working our lives for the good. All things work together for the good to them that love him and that are called according to his purpose. God bless you today. I pray that we would heed the warning of Uzziah. I pray that we wouldn't be discouraged, though the story be sad, but we'd be encouraged that God desires to use us and to reveal himself in his path to us, and that we would be motivated today to pursue what is good, to pursue God. God bless you today. Let's have a song, if we could, Sister Rachel. As we meditate upon God's word today, I'd like to sing a praise to his name. And if God has something for you to do in this service in way of obedience to him, we encourage you to do that this morning. Thank you for your attention.